Mick in Meath was in touch to say, I can't begin to imagine the sadness and loss for the community in Donegal. What does one say except that may those poor people rest in peace, and total sympathy for the families and friends left behind to try to come to terms with this awful tragedy. May they find some kind of peace soon. Well said, Mick, and thanks for getting in touch. Also, happy 80th birthday to the best dad and granddad ever, Michael Moore in Naas. That comes in from all the family. Keep the messages coming in to us, 0833 97 97 97. Karen Lee is CEO of Sensational Kids in Kildare Town. Good morning to you, Karen.
Good morning, Owen. How are you?
I'm good. Welcome to the programme and thanks for taking our call this morning. This is week two of our interviews in association with County Kildare Leader Partnership regarding social enterprises. Tell us a little bit about Sensational Kids then.
Sensational Kids is based in Kildare Town and we are a social enterprise. So what we do is we provide subsidised assessment and therapies for children of all ages and all abilities. So those services would include occupational therapy, speech and language therapy, educational psychological assessments, and reading support for children who are struggling with reading. So part of what makes us different as a social enterprise is that we also run a shop as a way of trying to fund those therapy services as well as fundraising. So people, if they look on our website, will see that we have an online store and they can also pop into our Child Development and Learning store, which is based in Kildare Town. So as a social enterprise, all the proceeds from that shop get invested back into the organisation to subsidise the therapy supports for children who are in need in our community. So we're very proud to be a social enterprise. It's very different. Like, we're like most other companies. But what makes us different is we exist because there's a social need. So I'm sure your listeners will be very familiar of the needs for children who are on waiting lists. There's 70,000 children in Ireland on waiting lists for speech and language therapy and occupational therapy. So that's why we exist in the first place. There's a social need for what we do. And like all other organisations, there's income from sales of goods and services, but that isn't enough to cover our costs. So we also have to fundraise, and we're quite innovative in how we do that. We do that through our shop, but we also do rely on grants and fundraising as well. But the key difference is that there's no profits distributed to shareholders. So Sensational Kids is governed by a voluntary board of directors, and everything that we do, all the income that is generated, gets put back into the organisation to provide those subsidised therapy services for children. So that's Sensational Kids in a nutshell. We also have a lot of different activities going on at our centre in Kildare Town. So, for example, we have a Sensational Babies group starting in November, which is for babies and toddlers from 6 to 24 months of age. That will provide parents with activity ideas for sensory stimulation. And it's a developmental play group run by our sensory-trained occupational therapist at Sensational Kids.
Yeah, it's super. And we've spoken to you before, Karen, on the programme, and I think the work that you do, not only in Kildare Town, but around the country, is fantastic. Tell us about the new centre then. It's a state-of-the-art National Child Development Centre just off the M7 in Kildare Town. Where are we? How far are we along the road there?
We are nearly there. We're a little bit delayed because of, obviously, like a lot of building projects with inflation and things like that. So the project is going out to tender at the end of this year, and we hope to start building in March. So we have acquired the site, which is just off the M7 there, Kildare Town, beside Aldi. And we're still fundraising. We have another €1.5 million to go. So we are looking for people's support to help us with that, to be able to go ahead. But we have most of the money raised. It's the last €1.5 million is the final target on that. But that centre is a flagship child development centre. Many of your listeners might be aware that we started in Kildare Town. We have four centres around the country now, but we started and were founded in Kildare Town. And the centre that we have at the minute is just too small to meet the needs of our community that's there at the moment. So we're building a 17,000 square foot flagship child development centre on a 2.5 acre site. And that centre will support 30,000 children over the next 10 years. So we're very excited to be able to do that and to bring that to the people of Kildare.
Now, I was looking at your website a little earlier this morning, and I note that one in four children in Ireland has a special educational need, which means that there are 420,000 children in Ireland who have additional needs such as autism, Down syndrome, ADHD, dyslexia, dyspraxia, other developmental delays. As you also mentioned, there are 70,000 children on waiting lists for speech and therapy and occupational therapy. And with these, I suppose, supports that you have, you're saving families an awful lot of money in terms of therapy fees, but you've helped over 9,000 children so far.
Yeah, 9,000 children since we started in Kildare Town. I remember when we started, there was just myself and one occupational therapist, and we now employ over 30 people around the country and have supported 9,000 children since we started. And sometimes I think, you know, it's just as well we didn't realise what we were letting ourselves in for, because it has completely grown and snowballed. But that's because of the needs that are out there. Ireland has one of the highest birth rates in Europe. There are 1 in 4 children with additional needs out there. As you say, a lot of these children would have autism spectrum disorders, ADHD, you know, neurodiverse conditions where they just need a little bit of help and support to help them catch up with their peers. And that's what Sensational Kids does. It helps them to catch up. And we also provide assessment services as well, so we can help identify the needs. If, you know, sometimes when children start school, people start to notice that they're maybe not on par with their peers, and when they start preschool, you know, their speech or language might be a little bit behind. So we can help and provide assessments as well to figure out what's going on and provide the help and support that they need. But it's really, really important. Early intervention, as you know, Owen, is so, so important. So it's really important to help children when and to have those services available for children when and where they need them. And that's what Sensational Kids in Kildare is about, is to be able to support the children so that they're not left on waiting lists. You know, if you think you have a 4 or 5 year old and you're on a waiting list for 3 years, that's far too long for a child to be waiting.
Absolutely. Now, before we let you go, Karen, as we said, we're doing these interviews in association with County Kildare Leader Partnership. When you are discussing or describing what a social enterprise is, how would you describe it? And also, how did County Kildare Leader Partnership help you?
Yeah, sure. Well, first of all, what is a social enterprise? You know, broadly speaking, most people would understand it as a not-for-profit organisation. That's not to say that we don't have to make profits like any organisation. We have to make profits, but it's what you do with those profits that makes the difference. And in the case of a social enterprise, everything is ploughed back into the organisation to provide the services to help the reason that you existed in the first place. They're not distributed to shareholders like in any other company. So that's the key difference from with a social enterprise. And how Kildare Leader Partnership have helped us, they have been there since day one for Sensational Kids. Obviously, we started and founded in Kildare Town 15 years ago. So we have been very fortunate to benefit from grants for our services over those number of years. And we also have been provided with training, which is a huge help and support. Because as a social enterprise, you know, funds are always tight. So, you know, to be able to access that funding and support so that all the proceeds can be put into our mission of helping children is a huge benefit, so that we don't have to spend funding on training and support. And this provides us with grants to provide our services as well. So that's a huge help to us.
Well, it's great to talk to you again on the programme. Good to get an update as well on the new National Child Development Centre just off the M7 there, which is being built, and looking forward to coming down and visiting you when it is built. But as you said, still money needs to be raised there, €1.5 million. If anyone wants to donate, they can go onto your website, is it?
Exactly. So there's a donate feature on our website, which is sensationalkids.ie. And if people want to get in touch with us, they can contact us on the phone on 045-520-900 or just drop us an email at info@sensationalkids.ie.
Super stuff. Karen Lee, CEO of Sensational Kids, thanks for joining us on the programme this morning.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare KFC.
Now, today, Monday, the 10th of October, is World Mental Health Day. We're going to be discussing the Walk in My Shoes campaign launch, which is launched each year by St. Patrick's Mental Health Services. And I'm joined now by the Chief Executive, Paul Gilligan. Good morning to you, Paul. Thanks for joining me.
Good morning. Yeah, thanks very much.
So it is World Mental Health Day. You know, as a public, we hear of these titles that are given to certain days. On today, how can people best honour, I guess, their own mental health?
I think today is about focusing on our attitudes and related behaviours about mental health. So what I'd ask people to do today is take a couple of minutes to just reflect on how they, A, consider their mental health issues, and B, how they consider others who have mental health difficulties. I mean, I know that sounds a bit dramatic, but ultimately everybody is touched by mental health difficulties, whether it be through a family member, through ourselves, through whatever. And it's to reflect on how we look at that, because we've got to have positive attitudes and beliefs about mental health, mental health care and wellness. And if we do have positive beliefs, we can not only live a mentally healthy life, but we can also help ourselves and others address mental health difficulties when they arise.
So the purpose of today worldwide is to improve the knowledge of mental health conditions and understand the importance of mental health well-being. It's critical, obviously, to breaking down stigma, discrimination, etc. And that is something that Walk In My Shoes is trying to do. What is it, Paul?
Yeah, so Walk In My Shoes, I mean, there's many organisations and individuals working on trying to help us change our attitudes and beliefs because and behaviours indeed, because we don't have a great history when it comes to mental health care, although in the last number of years we've certainly addressed and improved many of the issues that did exist in the past. But Walk In My Shoes has been one of the most successful of those initiatives. And Walk In My Shoes is all about focusing on education, number one. Be giving positive messages. So not saying well, how terrible it is to live with stigma, but actually saying how positive it is to live without stigma. And then thirdly, trying to build our accurate understanding about mental health and particularly mental health difficulties. So, for example, WIMS Live this year is focusing on those mental health difficulties that we hear a little less about, that people have maybe more misunderstandings about and are viewed as more serious. And again, our message is always the same, that, you know, through support and treatment, people with even the most severest mental health difficulties should expect to and can live a very constructive, a very productive, a very enjoyable and fulfilling life. And it's really important we ram that message home.
We're discussing breaking down the walls of stigma and discrimination there, obviously. But unfortunately, at the moment, you know, there is still stigma out there and people still do, I guess, receive certain amounts of discrimination because they may have a mental health issue. If somebody listening feels they are being targeted because of their mental health issue, how would you advise them to discuss it with the individuals who they feel may be treating them unfairly and how they themselves should deal with it in as positive a way as possible and not let it get them down? And I know that's very difficult to word it that way.
Well, no, you're quite correct, because self-stigma is one of the biggest factors. So you start with the position that says, what do I believe about this? You know, the Bridge of Spies comment, it doesn't matter what others believe, what do I believe? And you've really got to focus and work hard on having a positive belief system. The next thing I would advise people to do is if they feel they're being discriminated against, whether that be by a friend or an employer or a family member, first of all, find a supporter, find an advocate, because together you can thrash out and work out what the right steps are. Most often, people are simply acting out of a lack of knowledge, a misunderstanding. They're either overreacting. So, you know, the classic one would be somebody hears that a person has a mental health issue and they go, oh, you know, we've got to do this, this and this. We've got to protect them. We've got to do this. We've got to take them away from all the stresses in their job or whatever it might be. None of that is badly intentioned. It's simply based on misunderstanding. So I always say to people, find an advocate. Doesn't mean that advocate knows how you're feeling or has all the answers, but the advocate supports you to go and find a way to address the stigma, the discrimination you're experiencing.
So today, Walk In My Shoes is launching a live panel discussion. It's going to be streamed via YouTube. And one of the people who's going to be speaking at it is Cormac Ryan, former Dublin hurler. And he says, I found that there was a lack of understanding around men's experiences. He's focusing on in particular, of eating disorders. But the lack of understanding, I'm sure that's something that a lot of people can take away from their own struggles with their mental health and how they feel others dealt with them. This live panel discussion, just how beneficial will it be to so many?
Look, when people, you know, if somebody has a profile, obviously it's very helpful. Even if they don't have a profile, they're prepared to talk about their own mental health journey. That's really helpful. We find that the most helpful part is where people talk about how they resolve the issues, how they address the issues. I mean, it's interesting if you take eating disorders. That's a great example. We would all say we know all about eating disorders. We know, you know, it's in the media all the time, etc. However, males who have eating disorders often run into the problem of people saying, "Oh, I thought that was a female disorder or difficulty." And so there's a very good example of a less understood mental health issue that I think this week we have an opportunity to maybe try and, you know, present really accurate information. And having somebody like Conor be prepared to talk about that is great.
So the theme of this year's World Mental Health Day, the campaign by the World Health Organization, is, in quotes, make mental health and well-being for all a global priority. And yeah. Paul, people can check out the Walk In My Shoes website to find more information. It's just walkinmyshoes.ie. They're also on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. And of course, in terms of St. Patrick's Mental Health Services, people can get in touch with yourselves there. The number is 01-249-333 or email info@stpatsmail.com. And Paul, just before you leave us this morning, if there is somebody listening and they feel like they do need help but they're scared to reach out, what advice would you give for them?
Again, I say find an advocate, find a supporter, somebody you trust to talk to. If there isn't anyone that immediately comes to mind, phone one of the helplines. They are really superb, the Samaritans. Most organisations have helplines, including ourselves. You've given the number there. But, you know, most importantly, we've got to drive home the message today. Treatment and support, through treatment and support, you will be able to live a very good life, even with the most severest mental health difficulties. Reach out, get support from somebody you trust.
On this World Mental Health Day, that is the Chief Executive of St. Patrick's Mental Health Services discussing the Walk In My Shoes campaign launch. Find out all the details online, walkinmyshoes.ie. Paul Gilligan, thanks so much.
All right, just a couple of messages then to get to. A big hello to Liam Smullen, who is in Nace Hospital. Get well soon is the message there. And that comes in from Breda and all the family. So a big hello to Liam Smullen in Nace Hospital. Let's go to the Clane Maynooth Municipal District then and Fianna Fáil Councillor Dara Fitzpatrick. Good morning, Dara.
Good morning, Owen. How are you this morning?
I'm good. Issues that you raised at the recent meeting. And first of all, you were looking for the council to confirm if they have any proposals to take in charge Ballantyne Park out there in Allen.
Yeah, look, the developer or the residents haven't applied for the estate to be taken in charge. So there is a process to be gone through. And as soon as that process has gone through, so either the developer or a residence driven proposal, and it has to come from the residents or the developer, and I'm hoping to get in contact with one of the residents as soon as I can, just to tell them that and to ensure that they start the process of taking in charge that estate.
Okay, are they going to do that? Are they going to get in touch with the residents?
It's a very long process, Owen, as you know. So like it'll take a little bit of time, but the process has to be started somewhere, and I think it should start now.
Right. What's the story in Lowtown then? You were looking for the council to carry out essential repairs in the interest of public safety.
Look at Owen. This is probably just like there's been a lot of roads done around that area, and there's probably two roads that need to be done now. And one of the roads is a road in Lowtown, and one of the roads is the Green Lane in Robertstown. And I'm actually bringing the area engineer out this week to have a look at these roads. And I would suggest that as soon as he sees them, he will put them on the works programme for either later this year or for very early next year.
Okay, another issue then that you were raising, this is to do with Allen Graveyard, and I was only looking there the other day. This really needs to be moved on, Dara, in terms of the new site.
Yeah, well, look at it. My father is in Allen Graveyard, and I visit the graveyard very regularly. And the graveyard is filling up at a serious rate. And if there's not something done, so the part 8 is coming to going out to the public very shortly. And as soon as they get the observations from the part 8, they will go ahead with the works to ensure that the graveyard is developed very early next year. To me, one of the big issues around the part 8 will be, and around the public consultation section of it, will be the area. Like there'll be 3/4 of the graveyard fully filled when the graveyard is finished, and there's a quarter left to be filled. But the problem will be, will it be a lawn cemetery or will it be a curb cemetery?
Yeah, and is it going to be in that field that's beside it?
It's going to be on the right-hand side as you walk in the whole way down.
Yeah.
The wall is up, but it has to be footpaths and stuff has to be put in, and then the graveyard will be opened. But the question will be, will that be a lawn cemetery or will it not be a lawn cemetery?
Right, okay. And you're saying, what's the timeline there?
1/4 next year for works to be complete, works to, for the curbs and for footpaths and stuff like that to be put in.
Okay. Okay. What about the credit union then, finally, Dara, in Allen Wood? Is that going to stay open?
I was hoping you weren't. I hope you weren't going to miss this. Look, this has become a contentious problem around the whole community. The Kildove Credit Union, as it was taken over some number of years ago by Cree Line, so it amalgamated with a bigger credit union. They had sub offices in Robertstown, sub office in Prosperous, which is now closed, and a sub office in Allenwood, which is closed. And so these are three sub offices that were closed, and they're an integral part of local communities. And we'll keep eroding these offices and of all sectors, and it's wrong, and they should be made take it open. So we have agreed that Municipal District 11 is to write to the credit union to ask the credit union manager to come and attend the municipal district and look for his rationale around the closing of these sub-offices. I think if we keep closing these sub-offices around the country, and I remember I spoke at the AGM for the merger at the time around could the Cree Line Credit Union ensure that the sub-office would remain open as part of the merger. Hmm. And the manager at that stage gave the members a commitment that the sub-offices would stay open.
This all came about, I think, after COVID, wasn't it? Because I remember Rose Devine in Prosperous got in touch with us to say that the credit union closed in Prosperous before COVID or during COVID and hasn't reopened since. I think it's similar in Allen Wood.
Allen Wood hasn't opened and Robertstown hasn't reopened. Now, Allen Wood was one of the first offices. The whole ethos around credit unions is it's owned by the members and it's for the members. And the members in Allen Wood, some members in Allen Wood would go to Allen Wood sub-office on a regular basis, once a week, to pay money into their accounts or to pay money off their loans or whatever. And it was a way of getting people from their house to the community, do their shopping, pay their credit union and go back home. That right has been taken away from them members. And they now have to go to Kildove, which is another commute. And I feel it's just not fair on members locally who have been embedded and committed to the credit union for lifetimes. Mm. And now they have to go to Kildove to pay their credit union. I just think it's something that needs addressing. And it's something that was done without consultation at all. The credit union office in Allenwood was just closed with no consultation and no notification to members. And I think that was wrong. And I think all the members within the Clare Municipal District agreed with me and agreed to ask the manager to come in to address the Municipal District and explain the rationale around the closing of these sub-offices. So I'm hoping that we can get the manager in at his first available opportunity to address this.
All right. On that note, with those issues brought forward to the recent Clare Maynooth Municipal District meeting, that is Fianna Fáil Councillor Dara Fitzpatrick. Thanks, Dara.
Kildare Today. With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare's KFM.
Sports Review Monday on Kildare Today.
Yes, indeed. Lots to get through between now and 11 on the local sporting front. And the big news, Naas completed the senior and football double again yesterday. They retained their senior title with a 112-6 point win over Clane in the Joe Mallon Motors Senior Football Championship final. Naas will meet the Dublin champions in the Leinster Championship on Sunday, the 6th of November. Kilmacud Crokes play Na Fianna in the Dublin final next weekend. Ger McLanney is on the line. Good morning to you, Ger.
Good morning, Owen.
Not a classic, really, by any stretch of the imagination yesterday in St. Conleth's Park. I mean, the weather definitely would have hampered that, but a win is a win from a Naas point of view, and they'll be happy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, deliriously happy, yeah. As Owen Doyle made the point to us, it might be their second title in 2 years, but it's only their second title in over 30 years. So, yeah, absolutely, Naas won't take it for granted, and they will be thoroughly enjoying, I'm sure, yesterday evening and well into this week as well, the celebrations, because it's a fantastic achievement. As I said to a couple of their players yesterday, good teams win county titles, but great teams retain them. And Naas are actually the first team outside of the Newbridge duo, Sarsfield and Moorfield, to retain a Kildare title since Clane themselves way back in the early 90s. So it's not something that happens very often. And it wasn't the game that we expected. Clane kind of played within themselves, I thought. They certainly set up a lot more defensively than we've seen them set up this season. But I suppose Tom Criven will point to the fact that the side were within 3 points of Naas going into the final quarter of the game, and theoretically were within striking distance of Naas. But really looking at it, Naas were always in control right from the very first ball of the game. Naas played the game that they wanted to play. Clane sat back off them, allowed them an awful lot of possession, even though the Clane had a strong wind at their back in the first half, made within 5 points to one ahead. Clane did rally then midway through the second half. They got 2 points in succession, and one in particular from fullback Robbie Phillips was an excellent score to go with one from Shane O'Sullivan. And it looked at that stage maybe that Clane were going to time a run late on in the final quarter, but Nace soon regained control of the game again, and only for a couple of wonderful saves by Clane goalkeeper Keane Burke. They could have had two goals in the closing 10 minutes or so of the game before eventually getting a goal in injury time for Paddy McDermott. And yeah, a fantastic win for Nathan to retain that title, as I said, really is something special, and it marks him down as one of the best Kildare teams of recent memory. As I said, it is a very, very difficult thing to do, to come back and retain a title the year after winning it, because everybody's looking out for you, everybody is trying to get that scalp, and Nathan have won this the hard way. They beat Moorfield in the preliminary round, albeit after extra time, a tie in the group stages, Starfields in the quarter-final, Selbridge in the semi-final, and then Clane in the final. So there's absolutely no doubt about it that Nace had the best side in the county at the moment.
Yeah, final score 112 to 6 points. Do you feel as though Nace didn't really have to be at their best yesterday to get the win?
Yeah, look, the Clane setup, and I'm not going to criticise Tom Crippen or question Tom Crippen, because he's forgotten Marble football that I could ever know. And as I said, he would definitely point to the fact that they were within striking distance going into the final quarter. But it was a very different setup from Clane than we have seen. You know, Clane were exhilarating to watch in the earlier rounds of the championship. And of course, you know, they were playing against whether it be disrespectful, lesser quality sides than Nace. So obviously Clane probably wanted to do something different going into that game. But I don't think that takes away from Nace at all. Nace are, they're a different side maybe than what we saw last year now. They play with a more controlled, measured approach. And I suppose teams would have targeted Eamon Callaghan and Derek Kerwin as key scorers for the Nace side. But they're a more rounded side now. And even when Kerwin and Callaghan are well marshalled, there's other players who stand up. Dermot Hannafin again was superb yesterday. He's had a brilliant championship, Dermot Hannafin. And I'm sure Glenn Ryan and his selectors will be noting Dermot Hannafin's performance through this year. Also then the wing-backs were afforded a little bit of space. Tom Brown would have been very, very close to the Man of the Match award. Paddy McDermott got forward as always and got that goal late on to seal the victory. And then Alex Berndon from the centre of the field had a really good championship and got the Man of the Match award yesterday. So they're a very, very well-rounded side. Owen Doyle directed a lot of things as well from the centre-back position as well. He was absolutely imperious yesterday. And yeah, they're just a really solid, solid, good-looking side. And it's just a little bit of a pity because they're are up against the Dublin champions in the Leinster Championship. It's the hardest draw that they could have got, particularly at the way tie as well in the quarter-final. But, you know, Nace will go into that game with confidence. And as I said as well yesterday, that whoever comes through that Dublin final next week will be fearing Nace as much as then Nace fear the Dublin side, because Nace are up there with the very best teams in Leinster now at the moment.
Here's the Nace manager, Joe Murphy.
Had a really, a really patient, smart game. Clane packed the defence, especially in the first half, and that gave up the kickouts. But, you know, our lads did try and force things that weren't on. We set out contacts in vital areas, and then when we had to defend, I thought we defended with discipline as well. So you'd have to be happy with the performance from front to back.
Yeah, Joe Murphy, of course, no, I suppose, stranger to success. He has so many medals with Aeroge in Carlow, not only county titles, but Leinster titles as well. And in his first year in charge now, winning that title with Nace, he's done a great job since he came in, Ger.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you think back to last year, it was Owen Doyle and Eamon Callaghan that were probably leading the things for Nace and the managerial side of things after Paul Kelly had left the post there late in the championship. He's come into a very successful setup, but he seems to be driving things along very nicely there. And he's a manager who's got a huge CV. He won 5 Leinster titles as a player. Then in Carlow as a manager, he won a couple of titles with O'Loughlin. He went back to his old club, then Aeroge, when they'd gone 5 years without a title, and that's a big drought for Aeroge down in Carlow. And then he won 4 titles in a row, came very close to a much coveted 5th title in a row, and he also brought them to a Leinster final as well. So he has huge experience, and that could come in very, very handy indeed now in the coming weeks as Nace prepare for that Leinster Championship game against the Dublin champions.
Yeah, here's the Nace man of the match, Alex Byrne.
Yeah, no, we always said it was going to be a challenge to come back and win it again. We knew teams like the traditionals and also teams coming like Clane and others were always going to raise their game, and we had to do that as well. So we're just delighted to get over the line here today. Again, it was one step at a time all year, and as soon as we got her, we knew what we needed to do, and thankfully it worked out. The game plan worked, and yeah, delighted to get 2-0.
And just finally on that Leicester Championship, obviously you had a great run there last year, and there were some great days as well that added on to the county final, but it's as tough as a draw as you could possibly get going up against the Dublin champions. But whoever comes through that Dublin final next week will fear you as much as you will them.
Yeah, no, it's definitely the so-called toughest draw in the competition, but if you have that class aspirations to win it, you're going to play them at some stage. So amazing, I played them at the start, but yeah, no, we look forward to it. They're a really good team. We played them last year, they're really well drilled, really experienced, so and obviously they're Shane Walsh now as well, so we look forward to that. It'll be a great challenge for ourselves, and just to test ourselves against the best.
The next captain is Owen Doyle.
I did kind of think they might have put bodies behind the ball, and that's alright, every team does it, we do it. That's kind of the modern game of football, but I thought we dealt with it all well. I thought we were patient in the first half. I thought we, you know, sometimes our team gives a kick out so you can panic and you can feel like you have to do something, but I thought we were nice and patient and a very controlled performance. Experience can be over, you know, overstated as well. I mean, we weren't experienced going into last year's final. You know, we were very well aware of the threat that Clane could pose if we let them pose it. But I think we were solid in the areas that we need to be solid in, and I thought it was a controlled performance.
Yeah, Ger, just before we move on to the rest of the sporting action, of course, it's worth mentioning what a fantastic campaign it's been for Clane, albeit they were beaten yesterday, but it's a step in the right direction. Tom Cribben has done a fantastic job, and they have some fantastic young players coming through, and the future is bright for the club.
Oh, 100%. It was more than a step in the right direction. It was a huge leap in the right direction because, don't forget, before this year, Clane hadn't even been to a semi-final since 2007. Never mind a final, their last appearance being in a final in 1998. So they probably got there maybe a year or two before schedule, if anything, because they're still a very, very young side. I suppose now the problem for Clane, or the issue for Clane, if you can call it that, is trying to keep that group together. Although there are whispers of maybe some of those players heading away, travelling next year and stuff like that. So it'll be interesting to see how much of that group can stay together, because if they were to stay together as a group there and maybe add a couple of younger players coming through as well, you would say that Clane definitely will be up there pushing for a title now again in the next couple of years, because they have a really good age profile to the side, and they've been really wonderful to watch all the way through the season. And yeah, full credit to Tom Cribben and his team there. Unfortunately, it wasn't their day yesterday against a very good Naas side, but they've given their supporters in the club their great value this season.
Over the border, St Patrick's are Wicklow senior football champions. They defeated Bolton Glass 110-18. Port Arlington are Laois champions for the third successive year. They beat O'Dempsey's of Ballybritis 213-8. And Barrow House, they were beaten in the junior final in Laois by Port Laois. The minor final, Ger, yesterday, Raheens bridged a gap of 50 years to win the minor title, beating Naas 49-11. Their last minor title was in 1972, and it's a great achievement for Raheens.
Yeah, and Raheens, I'm sure as well, they'll be enjoying the moments, but also dreaming of what the future might hold, because going back to that 1972 minor final, within 10 years of winning that minor title, Raheens had won 5 Kildare senior titles and a Leinster title as well. So, yeah, it'll be some going if they can match that this current side. But with the young players that are coming through, added to an already talented young senior panel as well, the future looks very, very bright indeed for Raheens. Probably the final scoreline is a little bit flattering to them, 4-9-11. They took their goals clinically, especially early on. They got a goal after just 2 minutes, Fionn Cook, and then Cook was involved in the build-up in the 10th minute to set up Niall Dolan. They got the third goal then just before half-time, and that really was a killer for Naas. It was a poor kick-out from the goalkeeper that went straight to Raheens, and Raheens were able to work it in. The keeper almost made amends by making a great save from Fionn Cook, but Gavin Thompson was able to bundle the ball in over the line there from close range. And really then the real killer was the fourth goal early in the second half. Just a ball from the centre of midfield that was lobbed in towards the goal mouth, and unfortunately for Naas, it took a wicket down from the ground, hopped over the keeper's head and into the back of the net. So it was Fionn Cook who got that goal. He got two. He was superb in the centre of midfield, son of the manager Shane, and he was absolutely brilliant, involved in absolutely everything all over the field, and he had a hand in all four goals, including scoring two of them. So he was really impressive, but by far
not on his own. Raheem's had star players all over the field. Gavin Thompson in attack as well was brilliant as well. Miles Dolan, these are players who would have already played for the Kildare minor team and starred for an ACBS as well. So we've heard these names before, and I'm sure we'll be hearing a lot about them in the future. But a lot of work has gone into that team from Raheem's point of view, and to get to that point is fantastic for them. But I think this is only a step along the journey for these young players, because, as I said, we'll be hearing a lot more about them in the future.
Yeah, here's the Raheem's manager, Shane Cook.
And I can say it now, this team hasn't been beaten since under 14. They won 2 15 titles, 2 16 titles, 2 17 titles last year, and 2 18 titles this year. So it's no surprise to us and Raheem's how good these boys are. We were just hoping, you know yourself, lads, injuries and, you know, things can go on today. But listen, they produced it on today. It was unbelievable. And listen, Nace have put it up to us, and they've been the benchmark that we keep rising our standards every time, to be fair. They've some smashing footballers in there, and they'll be back, don't worry, they'll be back.
Yeah, just looking then at the rest of the local sporting action in the KDFL. Reigning champions Clonmullion retained their senior division title in yesterday's final game of the season. They beat Athy Town 4-0. Their scorers were Cody Mulhall with 2 penalties, Jody Dillon and Danny Thompson. Man of the match was winger Lee Doyle. And Strachan won the KDFL Premier Cup final 3-1 on penalties after extra time. Finally then, Ger, and briefly, a huge weekend for Dennis the Hurricane Hogan. Originally from Kilcullen, but boxing out of Australia now.
Yeah, what an achievement to win a world title. And he was probably unfortunate, well, very definitely unfortunate not to have won this title before, but he finally got his hands on that world title, defeating Englishman Sam Eggington, I think it was his name. But yeah, I didn't actually see the fight, but I've talked to a lot of people around Kilcullen here since it, and he was the talk of Kilcullen, and some real boxing aficionados would tell me that it was one of his best performances of his career. He was absolutely superb, and yeah, like Eric Donovan, and very similar to Eric Donovan, he's had his demons in the past. He's had to literally fight through them and went down under, obviously, to make his boxing career. And yeah, he's come a long way. He's had a couple of defeats and world title fights before, but now he has his hands on that belt, and it maybe opens up doors potentially for a fight over this side of the world already. Spike O'Sullivan, the Cork boxer, has said that he would like to fight Dennis for that world title, so that would be a really interesting fight, especially if they can get it on here in Ireland. So that really would crown Dennis's career as well, if he was able to come back and fight here in Ireland. There was 2 main things that he wanted out of his career, I think, as it progressed. That was, one was to win a world title, and one was to defend it here in Ireland. So hopefully he can get the second part of that, but absolutely thoroughly well deserved for Dennis Hogan, and what a great story he is. And like Eric Donovan again, you know, a great example for young sports people all over the country, that things don't always go your way, and it's far from a smooth path to the top, but if you keep battling away, then you can get there.
All right, Ger McNally with that look back at the weekend's sporting action. Thanks indeed for joining us.